Let's join together just to pray. God, you are great. You are the one that we come to put our trust in this morning for our own lives, but also for the lives of so many that we're hearing about that are in jeopardy this day. We thank you for the announcements over this weekend by our government of the lifting of some of the restrictive process for refugee admissions. Lord, show us our own part, where we go, what we're to do. In all of it, give us your heart. Great God, give us a great heart for what your kingdom will and purposes are for us. Reveal that more and more. Make it clear to us. Help us to walk in faithfulness with our time, our gifts, our finances. We put trust in you this morning. It's not something we say lightly or quickly. We say it with measure, but the measure of confidence. We put trust in you to change and turn around our own lives. We need that, but also the world we live in. Help it all. Who we are as a church, what's happening in our world, to go in the direction of your kingdom will. We pray this with confidence because you are the great one, the sovereign God. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I count it a real privilege this morning to be able to talk about what I have the opportunity to from Psalm 145, and I know that I don't have a tremendous amount of time to do this this morning, but the reason I count it a privilege is that this is something that I believe that as a congregation, what's in Psalm 145 and what you've seen really demonstrated and enacted before you this morning in our worship already, you know that it's something that we're already moving in the direction of. We're pointed in the right direction with this. Psalm 145 is, think of it all, that the psalm as being like an orchestra with 21 parts to it, and you heard 9 parts reading it out this morning, and that was really good. Thank you for those who shared that with us. But there's a lot of deliberation and intention that's shown by the author of the psalm in what's set out, and there's a reason for why I called it the alphabet of worship, because it's the psalm is written in the way of an acrostic, and the beginning of each of the 21 verses starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, you don't see that in any of the English translations or paraphrases that we have, so I thought to myself, well, I really do need to show it to you in the Hebrew. So there you have it, and now you can figure it out, can you? I mean, I know that for me, when I studied Hebrew, I called it my Waterloo. I lost that one. But anyway, there you have it. And it just is a real demonstration, I think, of the author's intention here, the commitment of the psalmist to show the importance that there is to praising and worshiping God, to see 21 verses, and the theme of it all is this repeated praise to God. Now, when something gets repeated, maybe you might think that gets boring, but it's not boring in this case. It's very enlightening, because what it portrays for me is this, that there's more to worship than I yet understand. There's more to praising God than I've even begun to imagine for my own life. And so this is the kind of psalm that we can dig into. I mean, not in a lot of time this morning, but take it with you this week to read it, and you can dig into it with a lot of benefit and help from God. I want to begin this morning by just asking you, I hope you can make out the print that's up there. Why don't you just stand with me? We're going to read the 3 verses here. Another translation, but just all of, because this is a psalm for the community of faith, okay? Together, as one, let's read this. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You can be seated. And I had to have you do that, because one of the main points of the psalm that we have, and one of the reasons why there's this repeated praise, is that praise is learned. It just doesn't happen with the snap of a finger. Do you imagine for a moment that the leadership of the praise team here learned how to lead us in worship as they did this morning just by showing up here? And no, it's developed. It's learned. In fact, it's practiced. And what the psalm tells us, as you go into verse 4, you should mark and underline verse 4, really. Seriously, you should do that, because it says that one generation is to develop worship, the praise of God, in the next generation, in every one of the succeeding generations. That's the point and purpose, what the psalm is saying. One generation commends it to the next generation and the generations that follow after. Now, I need to stress to you what it was that I didn't say there. I did not say that one generation passes on or develops in the next generation their preferred style of worship. Now, I know I could get, well, you're going to have to come back next week, because I'm going to go into this next week from Psalm 150. But how many, just put your hand up here this morning if you really love the instrumentation of our 9 o'clock service. Whoa, well, the majority, oh my goodness, no wonder you're here. But that is not what we're to pass on to the next generation. Now, that's important. That's okay. That's good. I'm thrilled. I mean, whoa, this morning I just felt my lung capacity expanding, right? But that's not what the psalm tells us. We're to urge the next generation to do our preferred style of worship. We're not to be doing that. Rather, what it says we're to be doing is the emphasis is on what's to be said and to whom it's to be said, rather than how it gets said. With me? What's to be said? Who it's to be said to, rather than how it gets... I mean, there... I can't stretch far enough to say how it can be said. There's a, again, come next Sunday, you're going to see how wide that width is and how it gets said. But what's important is what gets said and to who it gets said. We're to laud to the next generation. We're to declare to the next generation. We're to commend to the next generation, to trust God, to understand how rich the benefits are of putting their faith and their trust in God, and down the generational lines it's meant to go. So the 90-year-old gets to say it to the 3-year-old. You're with me? Now, what are we to be saying to them? Put your trust in God, but how? Well, put your trust in God's grace. Trust God because of His grace. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. You know, God looks at us in the ruins of the sin that's in our lives, in the weeds of sin in our lives, and God loves us, and God comes to us. And God wants to be in relationship. God's opened up a way for us to live a thriving life through forgiveness that we experience, the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. One generation commending to the next generation to put their trust in God because He's gracious. That's the character. God's the God of grace. Also to trust God because of His power. Saying to the generation that comes after us, trust God because He's the powerful one. Verse 11, and then it goes through 12 and 13, and God's kingdom is over all of creation. I mean, even some of the songs that we sang this morning, the beautiful one, the wonder, the marvel of God's power throughout creation. But God's kingdom is not only something that's temporal, it's an everlasting kingdom. And so we sing something like we do with whatever version, with whatever instrumentation, like the Hallelujah Chorus. The power of God. We commend to the next generation, urge the next generation, put your trust in God because of His power, but also trust God because of His goodness. God is the one who holds us. God's the one who lifts us. God's the one who provides for us every step of the way. God's the one who satisfies the desires, the needs of our lives. God's the one who keeps His promises to us. Above everything, you know, every echo of our relationship with God is one that God is good. The Lord is good in every part of life. Now, take all of this together, and I have to say that though I'm so incredibly thankful to God for the direction that we find ourselves pointed in, this is also one where we continue to need to know our need to improve. We simply cannot give up that sense. We have to improve and keep moving forward, keep growing forward. And the reason for that is quite clear. The evidence of our day, and I have read numbers of things even through the last week and a half to 2 weeks, particularly three different surveys pointing to this. Now, there's many reasons that can be given for the what they call the millennial drift, or the drift away from the church of young people and young adults. You know, a wide variety of reasons, but the number one reason that's identified is this. The number one cause for youth and young people dropping out, drifting away, leaving their involvements and commitments to a local church is the lack of intergenerational worship and relationship. There's a lot of other reasons, but that has been established in survey after survey as the number one reason of all. We need one another. I think that's the bottom line. You know, across that generational span, we need all ages. And we've got it represented. We're not just, we're two services here, but we're one congregation. And we've got that all-age thing represented in who we are as a Knox Church family. But together we need to learn to praise God the way that God deserves to be praised, because He's gracious and He's powerful and He's good. And we need to have, in our collective times of worship and in our personal times, our household times of worship, we need to have our children, our junior highs, our senior highs, our young adults right alongside of us. Right alongside of us as we're worshiping, because verse 6 says that we are to speak to them as we're worshiping in home, here in the church family, of the glorious splendor of God's name. We're to meditate with them on God's wonderful works. Verse 7 says it's with all of these ages gathered together that we're to celebrate God's abundant goodness. Together we're to joyfully sing of God's righteousness. Now, I thank God, you know, over decades here, that's been a direction that's been established, but we continue to need to move forward in it. And I'm thrilled to know that in our presbytery of Hamilton here, we're going to have an opportunity on the 21st of November, Saturday the 21st of November, there's going to be what's called an Oikos workshop, well, simply family. A workshop about family church, family church in the home, family church in the church family. Now Lisa's going to be coordinating that, but we have the opportunity to have groups of people from around the presbytery, and I hope from our own congregation, go to that so that we can learn more. What are some of the next steps we can learn about what it means to be spiritual parents, generation to generation, worshiping alongside and with everyone of all ages? You know, the answer to the question of where have they gone, related to teens and young adults, where have they gone, is really another question. Where have they been? Where have they been? Have our children, have our young people received in the best way that we can do it, offer it, give it, our commending, our urging, our encouraging to praise God with us? I don't know everything about what that involves and means. We need to figure out that together. That's why I hope some of you will just step right up and say, hey, listen, I want to go. Be in contact with Lisa. Phone the church office, email the church office. I would really like to learn more about that opportunity at Heritage Green Church on the 21st of November. We're pointed in that direction, but we still got lots of room to grow. Praise. Now, in case you didn't realize this, Peter and Shannon, this is Algonquin Park. If you wanted to go right back now, you know, sunny days are ahead and you might see some of this, but this is up at Algonquin Park. Praise is something that's learned, and I know they would have been learning a lot, even in the rain, but what it meant to praise God and all of His creative genius and power. But praise is grounded in the grace of God, the power of God, the goodness of God, but it's also, you know, we're going to see in a few other verses here. It's grounded in the God who is near us. Verse 18, the God who listens to us. Verse 19, and the God who watches over us in verse 20. And I really am out of time. Praise team, come on forward. I'm just going to wrap this up. But here's something that I really don't want you to miss. The pattern of our lives, individually and as a church family, is to be our own personal firsthand experience of the God who's not distant from us, not far off. That we know our children, our youth, our young adults see in our lives that we know the God who's near. And we know that God's ears are not deaf. They see in us that God is the one who hears us. And they see that we understand, we get it, that God's eyes are not shut to us. God watches over us. God's connected to us. And the children and the young people as they hang out, and we ought to thank God every day that they do that here at Knox Church. But what they're getting from us, it's meant to raise their own expectations of who God is and who God will be for them through every day of their lives. What they see in us is a transparent book. I wondered if that mic went off because my time really is up. You know, they have always told me they have power back there. But what they see in us is that we're encouraging them to put their trust in Jesus because they can see that we have put our own trust in Jesus. And that we live to praise the name of Jesus. Stand with me before we sing. We're going to just say together verse 21. Together. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise His holy name forever and ever.